it is very encouraging to look out and see fewer empty pews than we have in the past few weeks. And we know what has happened. Every person here had an opportunity this morning, an opportunity to decide, am I going to attend services with the people of God, or am I going to stay at home, or am I going to mow the yard, am I going to do this, or am I going to do that? We had that opportunity. The preacher is excited when he looks out and he sees that people have taken advantage of the opportunity, because the preacher has the opportunity to preach to them. And keep in mind, as the opportunity to preach presents itself, the preacher is preaching to himself as much as those who are sitting in the pews. The title of our sermon this morning, if you haven't figured it out by now, is As We There Have Therefore Opportunity. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. You would think that I would go to Galatians for the text, but I want to go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. And we know that this particular portion of the book of Revelation was the section wherein the congregations, the seven churches, there were being addressed. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. When he says there, I have set before thee an open door, he might very well have used the exact same word, opportunity. Every one of us have opportunities. If you look up the word opportunity, you're going to find that it is an appropriate or a favorable time of occasion. A situation or condition favorable for attainment of a goal. It is the idea of circumstances presenting themselves in such a way that if you take advantage of it, you can accomplish something. The opportunity presented itself, I did such and such and this and that, and I have gained, I have forwarded myself. Now, not every situation presents itself in your life is an opportunity, but many are. We are to make preparations and prepare ourselves to take advantage of the right types of prospects that exist in our lives so that we can benefit from them and so that others can benefit as well. If we don't, these chances might disappear from our lives and be gone forever. Oftentimes people will tell you, well, opportunity only knocks once. Sometimes you don't get the chance that you once had for a particular situation. And we need to also be aware of the fact that there are good opportunities and not so good opportunities. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Another place where the Spirit had the Apostle Paul address opportunity to the churches at Galatia, the congregations existing in the area of Galatia. And as he was directed to write, he said, as we have therefore opportunity. He did not say, if you have opportunity. He said, as you have opportunity. That takes into consideration the fact that every individual to whom he was writing, every member of the body of Christ had an opportunity. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. And when we read that passage and we see the center section there that says, let us do good unto all men, people think, yes, I'm going to find somebody who's struggling with a bag of groceries. I'm going to help them up the steps. Or I'm going to help this person who is impaired by an injury or something like that. I'm going to do this that is good. I'm going to do that that is good. These things are good, but that's not what he's talking about. Good is to do something that benefits someone. Is it a benefit if you help them with their groceries if they're struggling? Yes, it is, in a small way. But the greatest benefit that we can provide for anyone is to help them with their soul. And you might say, wait a minute, preacher, if you read the rest of the verse, especially them who are of the household of faith, you say, it can't be talking about their souls. Yes, it can. Because a person who is a member of the body of Christ, those who are of the household of faith, have a soul as well. And that soul is in jeopardy every hour. To do good in its purest form is to help someone take care of their souls. Help someone who's helping others take care of their soul. We see this, and sometimes opportunities are hindered. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, this is the case. As the Apostle Paul continued to travel about preaching and teaching the Word of God, he did not do this because he couldn't find a local work. We already read this morning that he spent a long time there in Antioch of Syria, he and Barnabas. But he had traveled about, he had gone to different places, he had taken the Word of God, and the Philippians, their opportunities were hindered. He said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein also you were careful," or you took care to make sure that I had the things that I need, "but ye lacked opportunity." One thing to understand is we can only do when the opportunity comes. I can say assuredly, and I think that you can too, that you desire that every member of your physical family would hear and obey the gospel and remain faithful unto death. I think that's a fair assumption on my part. However, if they will not listen, you don't have the opportunity. If they refuse to hear, you may not have the opportunity. We must take action when the opportunity arrives, but you can't take action until the opportunity comes. But some people don't respond as they should. There are good opportunities. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37 tells us of the good opportunity, but it also tells us that not everybody takes advantage of the good opportunities. Remember, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Jesus answering and said, as he was speaking in response to a question from an inquisitive lawyer, no doubt the lawyer tried to trick the Lord, trap him in his speaking or something of that nature. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." And here's a situation that occurred oftentimes. When people traveled those days, they oftentimes traveled in groups because of the robbers, because of the people who would jump upon them, seize the opportunity to take their goods and to harm them. And that's exactly what happened with this fellow. They jumped on him, they stripped him of his clothing, they wounded him, and they just left him. And then we see the opportunities began to surface. Verse 31 tells us, "And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." A certain man went down from Jerusalem, more than likely a Jew. You would think that a priest, when he saw the opportunity to help out a fellow Jew, would jump at the chance, so to speak. But what did he do? He did like so many people today do. "I just don't want to be involved." Friends, when you see someone who has help or needs help and you have the opportunity, whether you believe it or not, you're already involved. You have seen the need. But what are you going to do with it? That's your choice. Every individual has to make that choice. This guy passed by on the other side. It's important to understand he had an opportunity. Not only did he see the need, he no doubt saw how he could fill the need. Verse 31, "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked upon him and passed by on the other side." He came and he looked on him. Can you imagine going like, "Oh, you poor fella," and going on your way? What good did he do? None. Now here was a priest and a Levite, those who were sometimes held to a higher standard in the eyes of maybe some of the other Jews. But notice in verse 33, as Jesus continues his answer to this inquisitive lawyer, "A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was." I want to point out, the Samaritans would not have anything to do with the Jews because the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. But this person did not hold malice in his heart. He did not look and say, that's somebody I don't like. As he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, notice this, he had compassion on him. First and foremost, the situation gave him an opportunity to show his compassion, to show his love for another human being. He had compassion on him. And so what did he do? He acted upon the opportunity that was granted to him. He went to him, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He didn't just take him somewhere and drop him off. He took him to a place where he was out of the elements, probably had covered him up, provided some bandaging and that sort of thing, and medications, the oil and wine, and he took care of him. And we know that he did it throughout the night, because verse 35 says, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, a sum of money, and he gave them to the host and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay him. In other words, I'm not going to allow my opportunity to stop right here. I've got to move on. I've got business down here somewhere. But I have the means. And the opportunity is here. Here, here's the money. If you spend more, I'll pay it when I come back. Now the question, verse 36. Which now of these thinketh thou was neighbor unto him that fell upon thee? See, that's the whole focus of the thing. Who is my neighbor? Remember, all the law and the prophets hang upon 2 passages. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The question then is, who is the neighbor? And so Jesus presented this scenario and says, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him? He had to answer properly. And it said, he that showed mercy upon him, or on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. What was Jesus telling them? As opportunities present themselves, take advantage of them. If you want to talk about good opportunities, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus had multiple good opportunities, and he took care of those opportunities. He took advantage of those opportunities to heal people. And as he healed people, people would gather around. They were interested in the miracle. But what did he use that opportunity for? To tell them about the kingdom that he was soon to die for. To tell them about the love of his Father. To tell them about the error of their ways. To tell them that there was a way coming in which their sins could be remitted. The entirety of the life of Jesus was full of good opportunities, but there are also bad opportunities. And we've got to be careful. You want to take advantage of the good opportunities. You want to shun or avoid the bad opportunities. You say, well, what do you mean they're bad opportunities? Well, look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. We see the word liberty there, the freedom to do things. When we have certain freedoms, we have opportunities. This particular one is talking about opportunities for the flesh. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty, or use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. There are many opportunities to do wrong. We are to avoid those. In Mark chapter 6, verses 21 and 22, we see of an opportunity that was used in the wrong way. Now here's Herod, and he had a birthday, he made a supper, and he called all the people in, and he was fond of his stepdaughter and the entertainment that she could provide for the crowds. And he made a vow. That vow would cost someone their life. If you're not familiar with the story, remember that John the Baptizer had been arrested. He'd been put in jail. He hadn't done anything wrong. But he told the king that his situation was not correct. And as we begin reading, we do so in verse 21, and we see that Herodias took opportunity. When convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to the Lord's high captains and chief of state of the Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Herodias pounced upon the opportunity. She said, you go tell him that you want the head of John the Baptizer on a platter. bad opportunity. We see another bad opportunity. Luke 4 and verse 13. We won't read the entirety of the temptations of Jesus Christ, but we can see the latter part of it, that the devil had been tempting Christ. He had the opportunity to tempt Christ, and he did so. Christ was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. But when he resisted, when Jesus resisted the temptations, he had the opportunity to resist the temptations, and he took that opportunity and did resist. But when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. We think sometimes, man, made it through that day. Look out, there's another one coming. If the sun comes up, there's going to be another day. That means there's going to be other temptations. The devil will take every opportunity that he has to tempt you, to trouble you, to try you, to get you to stumble and fall. One of the saddest situations relative to opportunities when it comes to people, it's found in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 16. Speaking about that disciple, one who was one of the chosen, one of the 12 who traveled about with Jesus, who saw the wonderful miracles that Jesus had done, who benefited greatly from Jesus' preaching and teaching. But what did he do when the opportunity presented itself? He sought to betray the Lord. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. So all opportunities are not good. Some are bad. But we also need to remember that we have opportunities every day. People say, well, you know, I don't really have the chance to do this. When we're saying that, we're saying I don't have the opportunity to do this or that. We all have opportunity. Jesus was talking about the kingdom. And he was talking about those who would be in the kingdom. And in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 25, we know that he's talking about the talents. And we oftentimes hear sermons on the one talent man or the parable of the talents. This is just one verse from that parable. And it tells us there, and unto one he gave five talents. And you say, well, okay, he would have five things. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 15, I think I said. And then to another, two talents. And to another, one. And you say, why did he give one five and one two and one one? Well, it's very clear from the verbiage there. To every man according to his several ability. The opportunities that are presented to you will not be more than those that you can handle. Just like temptations. You will not get more temptation than you can handle. And he goes on and he says, and straightway he took his journey. And then he showed them how that one had done well. They took the five and they used them properly, and they gained five more. And the one that took two, he took the two and he used them properly, and he gained two more. And the one who had one was afraid, and he hid it in the dirt. What did he do? He did not use the opportunity that was available. Why? Quite frankly, because he was afraid, but also because he wasn't looking. Are we looking for opportunities? Are we looking for opportunities? We were talking to someone here this past week. A friend of ours had a birthday. We went over to her house, and one of her other friends stopped by. And we all agree that when we were younger and we lived at home, one of the cardinal mistakes you can make is saying, there's nothing to do, or I'm bored. Listen. Yeah, I became very acquainted with a hoe one time because there was nothing to do. I was presented with a hoe. It was put in my hand. Come with me. Went to a cornfield. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to hoe this corn. I don't think I ever said there's nothing to do. I might have said I was bored, but I said it very quietly. Why? Because opportunities existed. We all have opportunities, but we have to look for them. We need to be alert. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. We see, as the Spirit had the Apostle Peter write in this general epistle, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. What is he saying? Be prepared. Look for opportunities. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what we need to do is learn to recognize opportunities. Do we know an opportunity when it's presented before us? If we're looking in the right place, we will. Now, does that mean that we're to walk around looking to say, okay, where can I be good? Where can I help somebody? Where can I? No. It's very, very simple. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It tells us how to recognize opportunities. If ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, if you are a child of God, you've been baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on those things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, if we're watching God, staying in His Word, setting our affection, our attention on those things that are above, we're going to see the opportunities to help others with their soul. We are to be prepared. Remain prepared. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 and following. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth there, and we are all to be prepared to help others. He said, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. We are all to serve one another. What does that mean? That means we all have opportunities to help one another, to bolster someone up when they're struggling, to provide support when they need it, to encourage them when they're down. He said, I'm serving unto all, how? That I might gain the more. And to the Jews became I a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And before I finish reading this, let me fully explain. He never sacrificed the truth once. He didn't become a Jew once again, going back to the Jewish faith and that sort of thing. He served them. For the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. But what is this saying? In a nutshell, the Apostle Paul was telling the church at Corinth, or the Spirit was telling the church at Corinth through the pen of the Apostle Paul, that here's one who looks for every opportunity to serve God. We must also be willing. We've got to be willing to be looking. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 and 16. First and foremost, he tells them, see then that ye walk circumspectly. In other words, you need to look, not just tunnel vision, not just straight ahead. Look on the sides. Look behind you. Look everywhere as you walk. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And if we're looking, we're not going to let opportunities slip away. Stop and think about it. We have a limited time. What did Jesus say in John chapter 9 and verse 4? I always think about something my father-in-law said. Something about work or something like this. His father said to him, told him to go do something, and it was maybe getting dark or something like that, and my father-in-law told him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. But what was Jesus saying there? He's saying, you know, we have a limited time for opportunities. There's going to come a time when we're not going to be able to work. Don't let those opportunities slip away. Have you ever come in contact with someone and had a beautiful opportunity to introduce them to the Word of God? To perhaps feel them out a little bit to see if they're religious or to see if they're concerned about the condition of their soul. And then, for whatever reason, you just didn't think it was just quite right to bring it up at that time. And then that person goes their way. And then you read about a horrible accident. And that person is gone forever. That opportunity is gone. It has slipped away. Don't let the opportunity slip away. Look for them. And while we have opportunities, do good to all. Again, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. James 1:27 tells us about opportunities. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We have responsibility toward other people and opportunities and responsibilities toward ourselves. We're to do good to all. And one thing that we need to be aware of, that we will answer for how we handle our opportunities. You'll say, well, I never had the chance to talk to anybody about their soul. Of course you have. You know people. You know people who are not members of the body of Christ. Therefore, somewhere along your relationships with that person, your interactions with that person, there is an opportunity somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. As this is being written to the church, notice that he was telling them that those who were members of the body of Christ there were going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a reason why they will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In other words, did you use the opportunities that you were given? Oh, you did not. It will suffer. It will cost you. It will say, well, you know, I did what I was required to do. You know, I came to church. I sang the songs. I helped out, you know, when asked to. Look at Luke 17 and verse 10. I think it's imperative that we understand that just to do the minimum won't cut it. So likewise, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say. He's talking to people who were following him. He was talking to those who would have the opportunity to obey the gospel. He says, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So how are we to do good to all? Well, encouragement helps. We all need encouragement at times. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, we see that the apostle was writing as the Spirit gave him direction, having a conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of the visitation. They may see you doing good and say, wow, they did this because they had the opportunity to do this. They are now helping me with my opportunities. They might turn to God. But separate and apart from how we can help others, we have opportunities of our own. We have the opportunity to grow spiritually. I've heard several people say to other people down through the years, I wish I knew as much as you. I wish they'd say that to me every once in a while. But I wish I knew as much as you. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we see that we have the opportunity to do so, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I don't know the Bible. Why don't you know the Bible? Now, I will admit that some people can seem to recall the things that have been said, the things that have been discussed, the things that they've been reminded of, and some people can't. And it could be because they've got something else on their mind. Or it could be because, I don't know, everybody's not wired exactly the same. But we all have opportunity to grow. You know, we can grow in different ways. But the most important way to grow is spiritually. How do we do that? Well, we study. 2 Timothy 2:15, we're all familiar with this passage. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What is the benefit of study? First and foremost, you're approved to God. Why? Because you're reading, you're studying, you're staying in the Word of God. You're thinking, oh, you know, I read that this morning. I'm not supposed to be doing this, or I need to take advantage of this opportunity over here. And the more we study, the better we'll see those opportunities. The better we'll understand how to serve God, the better we will present ourselves before God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, those that don't study, those that don't learn, when a Bible question comes up, all of a sudden their voice, the volume goes down. The clarity of the voice gets all jumbled and everything. Tell me about such and such and this and that in the Bible. What's your answer? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I don't know. We got to go sit down with somebody else and talk. You know, there's nothing wrong with that statement. I really don't know where to find this answer, but I know somebody that can help us. Let's go sit down. Let's talk. Or let's sit down together and let's find it. We don't need to be ashamed. We need to rightly divide the word of truth and stand boldly proclaiming it. We also can grow spiritually by continuing in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, if you're required to remember, commit to memory a Bible verse. This is a good one. Pray without ceasing. It's short. You can learn it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, again, more about prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We have opportunity to grow spiritually. We also have opportunity to grow spiritually as we gather together to worship. You may or may not think so, but every time the church comes together, there's an opportunity to grow just a little bit. I'm told that as you take on new information that is received and absorbed, that it alters your brain just a little bit. I don't know exactly how all that works. But when we come together, when we worship, we should be able to grow a little bit. We should be able to see opportunities. We should be able to understand that that is a good opportunity. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, he explained, the penman did, as the Spirit gave him the words, to these Hebrews Christians, the difference between a good and bad opportunity when it comes to worship. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of others, or as the manner of some is. There are four opportunities to gather to worship and participate in Bible study each week in this location. Now, I'm terrible at math, and everybody knows this. I have just a little bit of trouble with letters. But I know that if we come one time, that's 25%. That's a quarter of the times that we have opportunity to come. I won't impress you with the rest of my figures on that particular situation. But do you see my point? And also that passage, even though it said not forsaking the manner of assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, then says, but exhorting one another. Stop and think about this. If there are four opportunities together, there's a Bible study on Sunday morning, a Bible study on Wednesday night, and two worship services, that's four. I can't do that much math. That's four opportunities each Lord's Day and Wednesday to be exhorted. Couldn't help but inserting Psalms 122 and verse 1 here. The psalmist David, a man after God's own heart. Why? Notice the verbiage. Notice what is said here in this particular passage. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because it's an opportunity to present ourselves before God, to commune with Him in worship, in prayer, and in our case, partaking of the Lord's Supper. David didn't have that opportunity because the Lord hadn't suffered yet. But he was glad nonetheless when they said unto him, let us go into the house of the Lord. How many of us are glad when the opportunity comes to gather and worship? Stop and think about it. When the time to worship is there, there's an opportunity. We can do what we want with it. We also have the opportunity to take God's word to others. You know, oftentimes people think, well, you know, that's why they have the apostles, or that's why we have preachers, that's why we have teachers. No, friends. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It's not just applicable to the apostles. To whom was Jesus speaking? He was speaking to the apostles. But who were they? They were the ambassadors of Christ. They were the ones who were going to continue the teaching after Christ departed. When they received power from on high, the Spirit gave unto them the things that they were to teach. It was recorded for us. And we see here in the way that this is written, the way that this is spoken, that we all have the opportunity to do this. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he said, here's the commandment. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then you say, well, see, he was talking to the apostles and he told them to go do this. But look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What had he just commanded them? To go and teach and baptize and teach. So what are they to teach us that we are to go and to teach and to baptize and teach? It's perpetual. We know this to be the case in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. There were Christians who were persecuted. They were forced away from their homes, away from their town. And they were forced to go into other parts of the Roman Empire. And therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They could very well have said, well, they didn't really have the opportunity while they were traveling. Every time you come in contact with someone, you have the opportunity to make an impression upon them. What kind of impression are we going to make on people? Are we going to impress them as just another kind soul? Or as somebody who loves the Lord? Somebody who will help direct them toward the word. You know, that's a commandment as well. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we see this. That we are commanded as children of God to help other people. There are going to be people that will recognize that we are Christians. Maybe they'll hear us say that we are Christians. And maybe they'll say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean that you're a Christian? What does that mean? Or maybe they will ask some other kind of question. But what does 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 say when people ask us something? Or they ask us, why do you think you're going to heaven? But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, your minds. And be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness. And fear. Friends, we have multiple opportunities in this life. And as we have those opportunities, we're going to be required to do something. If we neglect them, they might go away. If we take advantage of them, souls might be won for the cause of Christ. I know a lot of times we'll say, you know, they're not going to listen. They're never going to listen if you don't take it to them. They're never going to listen if you don't bring it up. Is the word of God on our minds? Are we praying for and looking for open doors? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, we see that today, if you've not obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity to obey God. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, some people might think they don't have the opportunity to obey the gospel because they don't know quite what to do. Exactly what is to happen. How does one obey the gospel? Well, I have an opportunity right here and I'm not passing it up. If you've not obeyed the gospel, know that one is to hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Repenting of sins is required. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice what the Spirit had Peter and the 11 say. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But before one is a candidate for baptism, they are required also to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And yes, they must be baptized. Jesus Christ pointed this out also in Mark 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Having done these things, a person then has an opportunity. They become a child of God, but they still have multiple opportunities ahead of them, the greatest of which is to remain faithful unto death. Just like the church at Smyrna was told, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. But perhaps you're here and you've failed in some of your opportunities. You've not taken advantage of the opportunity to grow, to mature, to study, to read, to be faithful. If indeed you've not been faithful and you've allowed sin within your life, and you're now separated from God, because that's what sin does, you have an opportunity this morning. And that is to return to him in repentance and prayer, just like Simon of old. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. You have an opportunity. What is the Lord worth to your soul? Ask yourself that question. And then, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, take advantage of the opportunity. Become a child of God. If you've stumbled and fallen, and you've allowed yourself to become mired in sin, make sure you take care of that situation right now, as together we stand and sing the selected hymn.